Hello, this is Ivana.
This is Yao.
And you're listening to the podcast Life in Black and White.
And all the shades in between.
We share all things life, relationships, marriage, parenting, race, and much more. If you enjoy listening to us, then please follow or subscribe to this podcast. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook under Life in Black and White. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast Life in Black and White. And I think, Angel, going forward, you should do this introduction because I love the way you say podcast. Just say why? It. You have to say it now.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'll say it at the end.
Thank you so much to our new listeners. We noticed a huge boost in the downloads and we have some new followers. So thank you so much, first of all, to everyone, to all our old and new listeners, because it really means more than you know. And I really mean it. It sounds like a cliche, cheap metaphor, but it is true. And I really mean it. So thank you so much. And hope you'll stick with us for as long as possible.
come on a journey with us.
Yes, exactly.
Let's all go on a journey together. Exactly.
Today's episode, I actually got a tip from a fellow twin mom to record an episode on the subject of what it's like to have twins or anything twins related. So I decided to call this episode, you notice I said I decided to call this episode, and you notice how Yao doesn't say anything back.
Yeah, it's called marriage, right? So...
We already have that one, so that's all good. If you haven't listened to it yet, we highly recommend.
Yeah.
So I decided to call this episode What It's Like to Have Twins, because it's a question I get asked a lot, especially what people ask me the most is, how did you feel or what did you do when you found out you were having twins? So that's the, we're going to answer that in a minute, but that's the most common question I get asked. What about you, Yao? From people who meet you and they find out you have twins, do they ask you anything?
I don't know. Obviously, I think everybody automatically presumes it's a lot, and obviously sometimes it can be. It's how I think the normal thing is how do you cope with that? How do you cope with twins? Is that
It's like the T-shirt you got from your colleagues, no? At the time, yeah. Yao got this T-shirt that says "Real men make twins," and the other day, no, after a very hard day, you were wearing it, no, in the evening, and I looked at you and I said, "Couldn't you just be with?" Less of a man.
it's so I remember when I first got that, obviously close on to 8 years ago. It's like, you know, it was so funny and I was like, and if you look at some of my pictures and you see the grayness and stuff in my beard and everything, I'm like, I'm crying inside a little bit when, you know, it was this ha ha ha, and that was.
So that sums it all up. Yeah, I think that's the end of the episode.
Okay,
there's nothing left to say. Yeah. No, really, in that statement, you said everything. Was there more to say? So, with regards to the question, how did we feel when we found out we had twins? I believe we covered that already in our very first episode, This Is Us. So if you haven't listened to it, then please go ahead. It's really funny. At least we think it's funny, but you might not think that. But yeah, we go deeper into that there. But basically, I was very happy when I found out we had twins. I was happy. Obviously, I didn't know what it what it's like. But I always was like, I always wanted twins because I thought that at least you get it over with. Like you have two at once and you're done, yeah? So I really wanted twins. That was my dream. And at the time, we didn't think it would ever happen because we didn't think we had twins in our families, no?
Yeah.
Now we know we both have twins in our families. But yeah, at the time, we didn't know that. So it was a huge surprise. And then we thought we were so special, yeah? We thought, oh my God, neither of us has twins in the family and we have twins, yeah? But then it came up that actually in both our families, there were twins. But it was like my mom's cousins, I don't know who, like it wasn't immediate family. And it only came out after we announced our twins. So that was quite interesting. And then you found out you had twins in your family as well, no? From your sister or who said that to you?
I think it was sister who said it to me. I'm not sure what one of my immediate lot, they turned around and said, no, we've got twins in the family. And I was like, why didn't anybody just kind of mention that to me, you know, the 8, near on 9 months and stuff that we were going through the pregnancy. Nobody bothered to kind of mention that we had twins and stuff. But yeah.
Oh, Christ. Or just at any point in life, no? So you're not, you're aware that it actually can happen to you. So that's so funny. It was funny. But yeah, we had no, like most first-time parents or all first-time parents, we had no idea what it takes to have children, regardless of if it's twins or not. So we had, but I think it's good that we didn't know what motherhood or parenthood is about. So we were excited. We were excited. We had fun. We were making jokes about the situation because it all happened so fast, plus twins on top of that. So it was quite funny.
Yeah.
But when they arrived, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. I don't want to go too deep into that, but I really struggled emotionally to adjust to everything, to all the changes that came. With the kids in general, it's hard not to adjust to your first, let alone if it's two of them. So it was absolutely mental. I was a mess. I think I had postnatal depression, and this is what motivated me actually later to start in my other business. For those of you who don't know this, I also run a business that supports mom and mental health. So if you want to look that up, just Google my name and you have lots of articles coming up. But yeah, it was hard. But not only for me, but for you as well, for Yao as well. From a different perspective, because I think you're expected to hold it all together, no? As a father.
So it's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. To a certain extent, it's like you said, it's not easy. There's a lot of moving parts and things with being a first-time parent, full stop. There's a lot.
Yeah.
You shift in with not just dealing with like new life or new lives, but there's also, you know, at the same time you're doing this, that added pressure of lack of sleep and, you know, you suddenly shift from this, you know, you can do what you want on your time. And obviously, you know, when you're pregnant and you're going through that, there's obviously kind of a slight shift there because sometimes you're not feeling too great and, you know, touch wood, things okay. But, you know, things aren't great always leading up to actually having the baby. But when you're there and, you know, it's unexpected when you know that baby's going to cry or, nothing can really set you up for it. But touch wood, if everything kind of goes to plan, you adjust over a period of time. It is a little bit like torture a bit. But
100%. It's not like a torture. It is a torture. A torture girl called it.
Okay.
But yeah, it was. Yeah, it's not forever, of course. It's just first year, I'd say, it's absolute nightmare. And that goes for many parents of one. So you can imagine, yeah. But it is all temporary. It's not like we have another one. So if it was that bad, or if it had been that bad, we wouldn't have had another one. So it's all a blur now, that time, but it was tough. It was bloody tough. I don't want to swear, but it was... hard. Yeah. But also pregnancy, I forgot to mention, towards the end of the pregnancy, you know, I couldn't walk up the stairs. And yeah, always had to pull me up. Oh, God, that was awful. Absolutely awful. But yeah.
You used to have the penguin walk.
Yeah. Remember? And you laughed at me when I ran, no? It's like, cheers. That helped. But yeah, we survived, and that's the main thing, I think. But also, like, as they started growing up, of course they started giving back, it started shifting as well in my mind. The breastfeeding, oh my God, like, it was a huge there is a huge pressure on moms to breastfeed, and I felt like as a good mom I had to breastfeed, otherwise I would have failed in a way. So even though all my instincts shouted, screamed, just don't do it, at one point when I was still remember in the hospital, yeah, I was determined to try and keep on going. And you begged me to give them the bottle. Do you remember? Because I went to extreme lengths I was torturing myself because they didn't want to latch. And I wasn't okay at the time, so I needed to take some pressure off. But it's that pressure on moms to be perfect, to breastfeed, otherwise you fail. So that's what kept me going. It worked in a way, but we did, what you call it, combination feeds in the end.
Yeah.
But it wasn't worth it. If I could go back in time, I wouldn't have even probably started, because, you know, but yeah.
There's no harm in doing it, right? There's no harm.
No, but the price was too high, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. At the end of the day, although it's hard to kind of, especially when you're in that whole roller coaster of things and emotions and tiredness and everything going on, it's hard to, you know, think about putting yourself first to certain extent. And, you know, we all understand our babies, or you want everything that you feel is you've got to do everything and stuff for them. But, you know, there's a thing about, you know, if they sleep for an hour, or they, you're lucky that they sleep for 2 hours, don't think of anything else. Just sleep, you know, make life as easy as possible as you can for yourself. Right. Because it's not easy. Like you said, it really isn't.
But we make it even harder for ourselves.
Yeah, because we add a lot of pressure to ourselves, don't we?
Yeah. There is a pressure, but there is the pressure we create ourselves. Yeah. That's not necessary at all. But yeah, it's easier said than done, of course. I'm clever now, but I wasn't at the time. It's just that, yeah, if there is someone out there who needs to hear this, then hopefully that helps. But yeah, as they started to grow up, it became easier. It's challenging in different ways.
Yeah.
But it's not like complete desperation and, you know, you sleep again, you have your life back to an extent, of course, but it is what you make it, I'd say, yeah? So, of course, it's easier compared to the first two years, I'd say. But what was challenging as well was when they started walking. No, Jesus, that was awful. Because whenever I took them out, they both went to different directions. It's just like, oh, Christ. No, awful, absolutely awful.
I still think they planned it. They would literally, one would try to run one way, one would try to run the other way, you know, or just kind of. And, you know, when kids can just about toddle off, the last thing that they want to do is be in a pushchair or, you know, in a pram or anything. They want to be out. They want to be walking.
Yeah, so, of course.
Yeah. So it's
natural. Yeah.
Interesting times.
And also before they started talking, that was very hard. That was awful. Of course, when they talk, it's not easy. But when they just scream and scream and scream, that's much harder. And they couldn't talk for quite a while. I think they were almost 3 when they started talking, 2 and a half or something like that. So that was hard to get them understand what they wanted to say. But I think
And I don't know whether that was just because they were twins or whether, you know, if it was a baby by itself, whether they naturally would, because they would have.
Of course, time. Baby Al doesn't scream as much, and he screams a lot. So when he's angry, but if you have someone there, you just join in, or they wind each other up as well. But the good thing about that was that we didn't really have the time or space to be too anxious or too worried about stuff, small stuff that most singleton moms worry about. Like, I see that often with moms of one, like a baby makes a sound or something. They overthink everything. Often, not everyone, of course, but they often overthink things like a baby or a toddler makes a sound, a movement or something, and they panicking like, oh my God, what is this? What does it mean? Or they think too much about activities, what they're going to do, where they take them. Whereas we didn't really have the time to say, I don't know, am I stimulating his brain enough, you know, right now? Or when one cried and we tried to help him, of course, the other one cried as well. We couldn't store them both at the same time. So we had to leave one cry, and we didn't have that space to be worried about it because it's just not possible. Yeah. So that actually helped us to be a bit less anxious parents, I'd say. Do you agree? That's how I see it anyway.
Yeah. I, like you said, it is literally about the timing. It's if you've got two, and obviously there's just one person there, then you know, you try to prioritize, you try to mix it up and things, but at the end of the day, you can only do one thing at a time. You couldn't try changing both nappies at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so one has to be quote unquote neglected.
to a certain extent.
Multiple times a day, So you don't sort things right away, or when they need attention, they need something, you can't always sort it out right away. And that's just, you know, and then you find out it's okay, like nothing happens to them, they're fine. So that's the good thing about it. Now, the hardest part about having twins for me personally is, especially now when I can compare it to Baby Al, is that you don't really have that space and time to bond the same way as you do with one. And I'll explain that. Say, I couldn't do almost anything with two when they were small. Couldn't take them swimming, couldn't take them. Lots of places you need two adults. I remember I took them to rhyme singing once. Oh my God, that was the most stressful experience because one was crying, one was running away. So, okay, I'm not doing this. So it's about survival. Yeah, every day is about survival. You don't really have the space often to do things, yeah? And I remember, you know, like activities that you normally do with the kids. Of course you do, but it's just not the same because you with one, then the other one needs your attention. So you're just hustling between the two and you can't really focus 100% on one. And that really is something that I'm sorry about. That I didn't have that opportunity to build that bond in the same way as, you know, I would have if they hadn't been twins. And I remember,
I just
remember when they were around three, my mom came over and we went soft play. And she stayed with Mason and I took Henry to the toilet. And it was that around the time when they started to wash their hands on their own. And we did it together, you know, like a mom and son wash the hands. It was so nice. And I was like, oh my God, this is so nice to just do something with, just enjoy the activity without unconsciously worrying what the other one is doing. Does he need me? Is he okay? Or watching them. So that was so magical for me, just that simple activity is washing hands with just one when I was like, oh my God, what am I missing out really here? Yeah. Of course, you get a lot of things that moms of one don't have. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But this is something that I really missed. Sorry, you were going to say something?
No, I was going to say that I think sometimes you undersell yourself in what you did and what you had to achieve.
Yeah, I know. I know. I did as much as I could. I'm just saying that.
But I think you did more than that. That's what I'm trying to get at, is I think sometimes when you're thinking about these situations and things, like you said, like you can see that they're absolutely fine and they're absolutely okay. Okay, sometimes it wasn't the greatest and stuff of experiences on your side, but I mean, from their perspective, they were still, you know, they were having fun, they were going here, they were going there, you know, they were at nursery, they were interacting and stuff from, I think, even maybe a younger age than baby out stuff to a certain extent. But, you know, I think sometimes you may put, I don't know if it's a guilt thing or whatever it is, but I feel that sometimes you undervalue what you did.
I know I did a lot until, but I don't know if you got what I was saying.
Oh, okay. I think so. You're saying that you really appreciated those moments and stuff just with each child.
Yeah, but it's not the guilt that I feel guilty. I'm just sorry that I didn't have more of those and I couldn't have more of those because it was two of them. And I mean, not activities as such, but say withdrawing together with twins. Yeah?
Yeah.
And I draw something. So one calls me and I have to put him on my lap and withdraw. Yeah. But unconsciously, I see there is the other one there and I'm watching, okay, is he all right? He needs me. He calls me, yeah? So I can't 100% concentrate on that twin number one, say.
Yeah.
So it's shared attention. It's shared attention all the time. But it's normal. But I'm just saying I'm a bit sorry that I couldn't have that 100% attention with either of them.
And I get that.
I did have moments like when we do one-to-ones, I took one of them somewhere or we still do that because we need that one-to-one time. Yeah, maybe it's simple way to put this is that I didn't have more one-to-ones with them because it's a completely different experience than having this shared attention. So that's what I meant. Hope it's clearer.
I don't want people listening to the conversation and not appreciating what you did. I'm not saying it for the sake of, oh, my wife did this. I appreciate that a lot of parents and stuff, they go above and beyond for their kids and things in a lot of areas that people just don't realize and stuff, right? And you did do that. And I just sometimes feel that you should value it more.
Hmm.
So even if they didn't have it, nothing's perfect, right? Nothing's perfect with how we, you know, raise our kids. And, you know, we make mistakes. The kids will obviously make mistakes. Things will go right. Things will not go perfectly and things. But for the energy and depending, especially with what you were kind of dealing with in the background and stuff, you should be so proud of yourself and stuff. And that's true. Right. We're going to have to cut all that out and stuff because I don't want everybody to think I'm that nice.
But you are. So
Sometimes.
I love you. That's nice, Angel. Same for you, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. You can say the exact same thing for you. Although for you, it doesn't go for parenthood because I don't think there is such thing as that guilt or you don't value what you do, but in other areas, but that's for another time. You don't value yourself enough or what you do, but we can have like a therapy session once maybe.
Well,
it'd be interesting.
I'm still not saying that word yet.
Okay. Is this your marketing tool to get listeners to stay with us until the end?
Well, if people are doing drinking games to this, maybe they're just waiting for the one word to be said, and I'm not going to say it right till right at the end.
Okay. And also, okay, you say, so all the way you say, okay. Okay. Now, the nice things, what are the nice things, the nicest things about having twins? Now you should start, Angela. So it's not always me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do you love about having twins the most? Now they're nearly eight. What comes to mind first?
To be honest, they're still young, right? And I want them, although like me and my family, although we're close, we're not close. As in, we'll talk every now and then and things, and then we'll talk, but we'll talk and go into everything. It's like, I don't see my sister for 3 months or 6 months. When I do see her, we've got that closeness. I just really want them to kind of always have each other's back and have that bond and stuff together. And you can see it sometimes when, say, for example, Mason is off on a play date, but Henry's here, or vice versa. I think sometimes they take each other for granted, but then when they're by themselves, they really miss each other.
Yeah. You know, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one's not feeling too well. Well, what time's Mason coming back, or what time's Henry coming back from school? And then you realize, oh, it's actually, you've got about 5 hours there, and they're upset and stuff because of it. But then when they're together, sometimes they're not so, oh, I miss you so much. It's like, but no, I love their closeness sometimes when they're just interacting nicely and stuff together, or they're playing games and stuff together. Or, you know, they have someone comes up with an idea and they go, oh, let's try this. And then they just do it together. That's really cool.
Yeah. Or when we have fun together, no, we laugh. That is very special. That's with any children. But
yeah,
I think when we do stuff together and to watch them, that's magical, no? Watch their bond and how they interact. That's amazing. That is really something special.
Yeah.
And it actually makes me feel calmer knowing that when we explore other dimensions of this life or universe, they'll still have each other. Yeah. That's what keeps my mind at peace, that knowing that they will have each other and they'll have baby. So that, but the fact they have each other, they have that bond, unbreakable bonds, that really, it's something that mom needs, every mom needs. And yeah, whatever, if something happens to me tomorrow, I know they have each other. And that's just the most amazing thing.
Like we were saying before, it's not just obviously with twins, but you know, you can have it with your brothers.
Yeah, of course, but with normal siblings, I don't know how to say, the bond is not unbreakable always. See what I mean? It can be stronger, it can be less strong, but this is a special bond. Like, even if they fall out or something, they still have that twin bond that no one else has.
When it's your birthday, you know it's your brother's birthday, or when it's yours, you've always that knowledge wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You've had that closeness, haven't you? Gone through things together at the same time as you've kind of grown with age and things. So it can be very special, I suppose.
Yes, 100%. Just remember, Henry is 2 minutes older, and as he likes to point it out, Mason, I'm your older brother. So I think they're going to have that forever, even when they're 80. I'm your older brother. And Mason is so over it now. It's like, whatever.
Not older than me, Henry. Yes, I am, Mason. Mason, I'm your older brother. It sounds so patronizing when he's your older brother, and you're thinking, all right, it's only 2 minutes there. Don't get too attached with it. But
he lets him have his moment.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. But something else just popped in mind. What was it? The people ask me as well, oh, do they have different characters? Do they have different characters? oh my God, 100%. And I think that goes for every twins. Our twins are non-identical, but it doesn't matter. They're all different. And our boys are no exception. They're so different. They're night and day. But then at the same time, they have something in common. The most important things they have in common, I'd say, like they're so caring, loving, and they're special. They are our boys, yeah. But character-wise, they are night and day. Do you want to elaborate on that or should I leave it there?
I don't want to go into it too deeply because obviously they're still growing and they've got their own mannerisms, they've got their own individual natures and stuff. But you couldn't think, I don't know, you just couldn't consider the one without the other, if that makes sense. They're kind of, don't get me wrong, I know that they're individuals and they've got their own lives and they've got their own aspirations and, you know, that will come and stuff with life, but they're also, you know, like you said, that special bond and stuff together.
And Henry's also taller, and I'm also just saying that because I love it when people, sometimes people are surprised they're twins because they don't really look like twins. They look like brothers. They're not identical, so that's why. But sometimes people ask me that they're twins, and I say, yeah, and they like, oh my God, but this one is taller. They're actually telling me, announcing me, and I'm like, yeah, I know.
Thanks. If you hadn't said that, what would I have done? I would never have noticed. But no, I think I'm curious with that as well. And I'm curious with how, you know, obviously they'll grow and how they will change further physically as well as obviously on a kind of mental level.
Yeah. So that's the most amazing thing about having twins. But like I shared on social media today, what's the best thing about having twins? And the answer that is two of them was the worst thing or hardest thing. That is two of them.
Yes. But obviously, like you said in the beginning, it was so hard. It was difficult, right? So
yeah, exactly. And now
you understand that response. But with time, and hopefully with more time, it changes, it shifts slightly. Mm.
And I also think, also focus on my retirement when I'm old and I have my boys. Yeah. They're ready to help and look after me, hopefully. That's what keeps me going on hard days. Like, just wait when I'm old.
If not, just make sure whoever they get married to and things, if they do get married, they're good and they like you. Because otherwise, I was like, everybody knows that I was connected, like, with mum. Obviously, I was connected with mum and dad and things, but it's slightly different, I think, for boys and their mums. Because you're just, you know, whatever happens in life, you go through a mum, you know, a mum would go through hell. And I'm not saying that dads don't do that and stuff as well, but
it is different.
It's slightly different, I believe.
We are lionesses when it comes to our kids. And boys love their moms. So I'm very happy I have boys. So that's the nicest thing about having twins, that watching them to have those nice moments. And going forward, we want to share more of your stories on our podcast. So today I have four stories from wonderful ladies who are happy to share theirs with us. And I asked them, what do you like the most, or what do you find the most beautiful and the hardest about having twins? So should we move on to the stories?
Yeah.
So Lucka says, her twins are six, and currently the positives I consider that they play together, support each other in everything, protect each other, which wasn't always the case, just as we had said, and there is a lot of love all at once. As for the negatives, I still tend to compare in certain situations or knowledge. But again, we complement each other beautifully. It takes time. Yeah, it's pretty much what we said as well. So I'm glad it's not just us. And I like that you mentioned the comparing. Yeah, that's a very challenging thing as well, no? Not to compare them to each other. You just do it, no? Somehow, naturally, you compare.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not cool and that's not right, but you can't help it. You just can't. Sometimes you compare out loud, which we try not do, but in your mind you compare, yeah. But I think that's, I'm glad it's just not just us, Lucy. So thank you. Petra says, the best and most beautiful thing is that they are buddies from birth. They've been buddies from birth and they will be forever. Yeah, exactly. The best buddies who are max, like connected to the max. Yeah. The hardest are the first 2 years, the nappies and taking care of them, which I personally don't even remember. We call it the years of darkness.
Oh.
Good thing we don't remember them anymore. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's like, it sounds like I said these things. So amazing that we are all in the same boat now. Now, Deniska says, our boys have been terrible boob monsters since they were little. And we had issues even with breastfeeding in the first months. I longed so much to be able to breastfeed them. It was terribly difficult with one of the twins. I suffered because of it and cried in despair about how I couldn't manage to carry on and breastfeed both of them at once and give them enough attention. Sounds very familiar. They demanded a lot of attention day and night. The worst part was the lack of sleep. I felt like a zombie. It had a huge impact on short-term memory, and days just blended together. The children are almost 14 months now, 14 months old now, and only recently, in the last three months or so, I've been saying, thank God that it's two of them. The most beautiful thing is when I see how they are with each other. I just want to shower them with kisses. I love it when we laugh together. It's amazing to see them all happy. Now I know that they are the most I could ever wish for. And every day I'm immensely grateful for them.
That's amazing. And it's like you said, when you're in it, when you're in the trenches, sometimes you can't see anything. All you're doing is just like you said, the survival.
Yeah.
I think if you've got people who can help, that's always a positive, you know, family, even neighbors, friends, you know, people who you could maybe sometimes leave them for. I know you mentioned this on some of your mum's journey sites and things like this, but you know, someone where you could just have a little detach for an hour or something, or get away for a few minutes and things. It can mean the absolute world to, you know, being in that survival mode.
Now, Lenka says, excuse me, I think that that most relationships get a good test with two or more kids. Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, it's a whole different story when the kids are like severely ill. That's extreme for everyone, especially for moms. We all expect support from our husbands or parents, but sometimes it's really hard and relationships can't handle it. I don't have a story, she said, but Lenka, you do have a story. Everyone has a story. But luckily, I have healthy kids. The beginning was tough, but it's okay now. Only the husband irritates me. Don't know what you mean.
No, and I'm sure it's just the husband that's irritating. It's never the other way around, right? No, I think, like you said, it is hard.
But that's a very good point. The impact on the relationship, that's such a good point. Because I think in our case, it's actually a good thing that we had kids so early in a relationship, because it wasn't a huge change to our lifestyle, no? Because we started with kids, basically. We talk about this more in the first episode again. lot of people think the twins were not planned, but they were planned. We didn't expect it to happen at first try after only a month in a relationship. So that was, it wasn't a shock that it happened. It was a shock that it happened so fast. But I think in that sense, it's good, because I think it's harder when you have certain lifestyle that you love, you have a good relationship, you travel, you do stuff, and then you have kids. It's more likely that it will break you, I think, or from what I've observed.
It depends. It depends on the relationship, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%, of course. It's just, I'm saying that I think this is a huge plus for us, yeah? Because you remember, we were just getting to know each other, and I was having morning, I was pregnant, I was having this morning sickness, but also I was very moody, and you were irritating me so much.
Really?
In the first trimester, no? Or the has it ever stopped? but can you imagine? You know, you have usually the first year is all, you know, sunshine, rainbows, butterflies, but I was just nagging him the whole every day. Yeah. So that was a huge test over.
It's changed now. So for any husbands out there, obviously with time that all changes and you get more time back and things are rosy. Sorry.
Well, they say that men don't want their wives to change after weddings. So you knew what you were getting into.
Oh, yeah. Did I not write that into my vows? I thought I put something into the vows about no nagging, no lists, yeah, right, when people go away. Does that not in
actually,
there?
That should be included, maybe.
Don't worry. I'm going to start a new podcast.
There we go.
There you go. Go on. Sorry.
But then no one would get married, I think, if that was in the vows. Or no one would keep the vows. So that wouldn't work. But no, the point was that I think it is a huge test for relationship, having twins. Kids in general, of course, but
exactly.
Twins. So special, like a massive test. But yeah. It makes you stronger if it doesn't break you. So it's all good, I'd say. And I'm glad we have all the stories we got are happy stories, which is amazing. And they're all saying that it's bloody hard first, but then there are so many benefits that come later that it's just, it is all worth it. It is 100%. Another thing that sounds like a cliche, but it's just so true. No, I can't put it in any other way.
Yeah, there is. So I think maybe one of the big takeaways is if you're going through, you know, some hard times, not necessarily just if you've got twins, but if you've got little ones and you're having a hard time, then maybe try reaching out, right? Try talking, try. I don't know whether if you're close to family, like I said, or you've got some friends, or in certain cases, and if you really feel it, reach out to, you know, professional help, like go to your GP and things like this, and let people know what you're kind of experiencing, what you're going through. Because if you don't and you hold that in, it's no good for you and it's no good for your family. So, yeah, sorry, I think I digressed a little bit. But
no, but it's very important to say this. So thank you for that. I think that's really all that we wanted to share today. So thank you so much for staying with us until now. Thank you, Yao, for saying podcast.
You're welcome. Podcast. But then I really like this interaction with people who are listening to our podcast. And then, see, I'm just getting people to do lots of shots right at the end of the show.
For each episode, we announce. So if you don't follow us on social media, please do, because for every topic we plan to record, we're going to ask you guys to share your stories and insights. So we want to make it more interactive going forward. So it's not just nice. Us going on about our amazing
our
relationship.
I like that, yeah.
But it's a shared experience for everyone. So let's do this. Yeah?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. And next time, yeah, you're opening the episode. So you're going to do the introduction. Just saying.
Like I said, in our vows, we said nothing about nagging or anything like
that. This is not nagging. So. This is just me telling you what's
okay.
I'm joking.
It's not nagging. And if it sounds like nagging, it's just a polite...
It's just the way you see it. It's the way you see it is wrong.
All right.
It's just like well-meant advice.
See? I like that. See, you are funny.
It's your... Oh, okay. There we go.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Take it. I just charged. Let me finish my line.
Okay, good.
And see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.